Does it really matter who sits in the governor's office, who fills the school board seat, or who holds the gavel in D.C.? Or is it all just political noise? What if the scripture says every ruler is a minister of God, that righteous leaders make people rejoice, while wicked leaders make people groan, and that unjust laws actually bring a woe from heaven on those who write them? Let's lay a biblical foundation for civil government from Romans chapter 13, Proverbs, Isaiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel 19, showing why rulers matter, how their character shapes entire nations, and why God calls his people to repent, to pray for those in authority, and to seek leaders who fear him and do justice. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Check us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Hey, I hope you are enjoying these daily devotions. And if you are, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this within your huddle. It really does help us to achieve our goals. And what are we trying to do? Change our hearts so that we change the public square. Today is Old Testament Tuesday, and it's going to be a longer one today. I'm going to share with you Ezekiel chapter 19, but I'm going to do a big, long introduction. So honestly, this is probably going to be twice as long as they normally are. So usually we try to aim for 15 to 20 minutes, and this is actually an entire sermon that I preached a couple Sundays ago. So I hope you enjoy, and hopefully you'll stay all the way to the end because there's a powerful prayer at the very, very end. Have you ever thought about this? Do the rulers that we have over us matter? Does it matter who our senator is, or who our House representative is, or who our governor is, or who our president is, or whatever the position might be? Maybe our city council. Does that even matter? So let's talk about whether or not this matters. And we're going to lay a foundation of understanding our government system from a biblical worldview. Rulers are God's minister. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are," look at that, "appointed by God." So the first thing we observe here is that rulers are God's minister, for God himself appointed them. You say, wait a minute. How do they become ministers of God? Well, let's read verse 2. "Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but is to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise all the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." Did you just see that twice? Rulers are God's ministers to you for good. That is what we see. So you would say to me, Pastor Brian, you are a minister of God. But we oftentimes don't think of those who rule over us as also ministers of God. They have two primary functions: punish evil and give praise to those who do good. Rulers are God's minister to avenge and to execute wrath on those who practice evil. This is why oftentimes what we're seeing all around our culture and our society, where we have something called illegal aliens in our country, and the illegal is the key word, and yet people are protesting those who are enforcing the laws, who are been put in place by God to enforce those laws. And so they're avenger of those who execute wrath on those who practice evil. Verse 5, "Therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience sake." So we are to obey those in authority. As long as they don't ask us to do something contrary to the word of God, we are to obey them. And we are to do it because they're God's ministers, and we are to be subject to them. Rulers are God's ministers, and we are to be subject to them on account of our conscience. So if we break the law, our conscience should convict us. Now, if the government asks us, we have plenty of stories. We have the government asking people, individuals, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to break God's command and worship false idols, then we can't obey the government. But as long as they are acting on behalf of being ministers of God and they're punishing evil, then we should obey. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. So do you notice here that the observation here is that rulers are God's ministers and they should be paid because they devote themselves to punishing evil? This is the very narrow understanding of what the government should be doing. The government should not be doing every benevolent program that's out there. Its primary role, from a biblical worldview, is to punish evil. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. So, number one, rulers are ministers of God. Now, rulers have an effect. In Proverbs 29:2, it says, when the righteous are in authority, in other words, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. So there's an effect that those who rule over us that have on society and culture as a whole. So what ruler you have, if they're righteous are in authority, then people will rejoice. When the wicked are in authority, then people begin to groan. So the rulers we have matters. We have to ask ourselves, are they being righteous and pleasing and honored to God? Are they operating out of their flesh, the wickedness of their flesh? So rulers are those in authority can, in fact, be righteous if they have a surrendered heart to God to honor and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Those in authority, rulers, can also be wicked. We see that from the Proverbs. There's two categories, that they can be righteous or wicked. When a ruler is righteous, it affects the people, and they begin to rejoice. We celebrate. And when a ruler is wicked, it affects the people, and they begin to groan. The king establishes the land by justice, but he who receives bribes overthrows it. So we see that the role of the executive branch, or the king, is to what? Establish the land by justice. Rulers establish a land through justice, what's fair, what's right for the common good. Rulers destroy the land by taking bribes. You think this applies to today? You think the word of God is alive today and it's telling us? This is why when Jethro was informing Moses of what he's supposed to do, it says, moreover, you shall select from all the people, that's like our voting system, all the people, legal people, citizens of that area, people who are able, fear God, truthful, and won't take a bribe, and place such men over thousands and, you know, hundreds and all 50s and tens. So this idea of voting and people and men of character who are able, who are truthful, won't take a bribe, you know, that fear God, that is a baseline for what type of rulers we are to have. It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. That was Proverbs 21:15. When justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but terror to the evildoers. So there should be an element when rulers act justly and lead with integrity, it brings joy to the righteous. That's what it should do. However, another observation would be when rulers act justly and lead with integrity, evildoers should be filled with fear. You say, I don't like that. I mean, I have fear, but that seems really extreme. Well, the person on the throne matters. Those in authority matter. And the evildoer should tremble. Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over the poor. Proverbs 28:15. Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over the poor. Think about that for a moment. Wicked rulers are like a roaring lion and a charging bear to the poor. We might say the middle class here, middle class, poor, whatever. Rulers matter. God's evaluation of rulers. So not only do the rulers matter as far as, you know, are they ministers of God and they have an effect on us, but who rules matters because rulers will give an account on judgment day for God. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 2. Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed. So we have right now in Olympia a whole bunch of people making a whole bunch of laws or attempting to make a whole bunch of laws. And we have to ask ourselves, are these righteous decrees or unrighteous decrees? Is this causing misfortune for those who went out and made the income, or is it over taxation, to rob the needy of justice and to take away and take what is right for the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey and they may rob the fatherless. So we see here that those who rule over us, they could get a woe. Woe to those who have unrighteous decrees. And you don't want to get God's woe. Rulers who issue unrighteous decree bring woe, God's woe upon themselves. Rulers who write decrees bring God's woe upon themselves. So when we think about these unrighteous decrees or misfortune decrees, rulers who rob the needy of justice can bring a woe upon themselves. We need to understand that there's both an effect to the people, but there's also an effect on the ruler. So that's why rulers matter. You got to ask yourself, if I'm going to rule, do I have the character and the ability to rule? Rulers who make widows their prey bring God's woe upon them. And rulers who rob the fatherless bring God's woe upon themselves. So there's a lot of angles to this if you want. But this is not giving handouts to the poor. That's not what this is talking about. This is overtaxing. This is taking people's property. This is treating the poor unfairly, so that they can't afford. I think it's overtaxing so that the poor can't even afford a gallon of gas. They can't afford the food. That is what we're talking about here. Now, brethren, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Rulers shall serve God with fear. So if you're going to rule, it matters if you have a fear of God or not. If you're going to rule, it matters. You should rejoice with trembling. In other words, know that you're going to give an account to Almighty God. That's why what we read about, they're supposed to fear God, be truthful, not take a bribe, and be able in Exodus 18:21. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Psalm 94. Shall the throne of iniquity with devices, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. Condemning innocent blood is an abomination to God. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, they can devise. This is why it matters. It matters that what rulers we have, the effect they have on us, but it also matters to them because there's a stronger judgment. Rulers, are you using your throne for iniquity? You will not have fellowship with Almighty God. That's what it just said up there. You're not going to have fellowship with him. Rulers, are you devising evil laws? You will not have fellowship with Almighty God. Rulers, are you gathering against the life of the righteous? So are you coming against those who are trying to do the right thing? You can't have fellowship with God. This has an effect on you, and this is why I want you to think through it. Are you coming against innocent blood, like maybe the babies in the womb or maybe the old people or the elderly? You shall not have fellowship with Almighty God. So we have an effect on us at being ruled over, and those who are being ruled, there's an effect upon them. So rulers matter. Rulers and shepherds have stricter judgment. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, all the judges of the earth. People may have voted, but God is the one who ultimately places you in your position, and you will be judged by him. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. This is Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be in the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Rulers, you better know that the Most High rules over you. My brethren, James 3, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So understand, this is not a threat to just those in government positions. This is anyone in a leadership position, whether that be a father, whether that be a pastor, whether that be a deacon, elder, whether that be a teacher in a public school or a principal, whether that be an elected official, we will have a stricter judgment because we teach others. Just like pastors, teachers will receive a stricter judgment, so will rulers. Isaiah 3:13, the Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter the judgment with the elders of the people and his princes. For you have eaten up the vineyards. The plunder of the poor is in your house. God will enter judgment over those who lead or rule. The rulers have plundered the poor. And this goes for all of us, whether it's pastors, leaders, teachers, rulers. We should not plunder the poor. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding their faces, the faces of the poor, says the Lord? The observation here is that rulers have crushed the people. So think about this. As rulers, we will have a stricter judgment. All right. So rulers matter. God gives us the rulers we deserve. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. God appoints the rulers we deserve. So in our constitutional republic that has some elements of a democracy, when we vote someone in, it's actually the accumulation of all of our hearts together. And if we have evil hearts, we're going to vote in rulers who do not honor God. Rulers who set their faces against God, their actions against God. If our hearts are right before God, then collectively, all of us together, will elect people who honor and glorify God, who fear God. So really, the expression of what we see in Washington State, where rulers have a choice in either party or parties to honor and glorify God, they are a reflection of our hearts. That's why we get who we deserve. This is where he says, select from among yourself all the people. We need to understand that God ultimately appoints our rulers. Daniel 2:21, and he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and the knowledge to those who have understanding. God removes kings and raises up kings. In other words, those who rule over us. You may say, we don't have kings. No, but we have an executive branch, which is like a king. Well, we don't have rulers of that way. No, but we have a legislative branch who make laws that's ruling over us. Well, we don't have the judges like, no, but we have the judicial branch who judge. We have three branches of government. Now, kings oftentimes filled all three of those positions, oftentimes without righteousness. Even though the power is divided because of how our system is, we still have rulers over us. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, Daniel 4:17, and the sentence by the word of the Holy One, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of man, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. God rules in the kingdoms of men. God gives it to whomever he will. Now, I believe, yes, we vote, our vote counts, but right now, our rulers, those who are elected officials over us, are really a reflection of our heart. And that's why at FPIW, we're constantly wanting to change our hearts so that we change the public square. If we as individuals have a heart that fears God, if all 8 million people in the state of Washington have a heart that fears God, we're going to elect people who fear God. If we are people who are rebellious to God, we're going to elect people who are in rebellion to God. It doesn't matter the party, Democrat, Republican, Independent, or Libertarian. They are a reflection of our heart. Then Paul stands in Acts chapter 17 in the midst of, and I'm going to butcher some of this. Men of Athens, I perceive in all things you are very religious. Or as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, look at this, who made the world, God did, and everything in it, he created everything, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he's Lord over heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Did you see that? God Almighty has fashioned and pre-appointed our time and our boundary of our dwellings. He has made the nations. God has made every single nation, and he has put every individual into each nation. You say, wait a minute. This is why illegal immigration is such an abomination to God. It's because God put them there. You say, no, I know better. I'm going to illegally enter into a different nation where God didn't place me. Legal migration is fine. We see that throughout the Bible. When Israel comes to Egypt, that was legal migration to Egypt. Okay? They legally migrated. It was fine. But illegal immigration is not. God determines their pre-appointed times. You were divinely appointed for such a time as this. God determined the boundaries of their dwellings. God has determined how big the United States is, how big Russia is, how big Israel is. I mean, he's determined all those things. So, and he does this for a reason. You say, why? So that they should seek the Lord. So he strategically places us in each of the county, the countries that we are in, the nations that we are in, so that we would seek the Lord in hope that they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So the reason why God places individuals into nations is because he wants us to reach out to find him. And he knows exactly what we need as individuals. It's out of a love relationship he does that. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stones, something shaped by art and man's hand devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And that's what we need, is we need repentance. We need to repent and turn, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So, what does this mean? Rulers, you have a boundary to what God has instructed you to rule. So when the judicial branch starts becoming the legislative branch, they step out of their boundary. We'll give an account for that. When the legislative branch tries to execute or become the executive branch, they're overstepping their bounds. When the executive branch either tries to judiciate or to legislate, that you've overstepped your bounds. When a county commissioner tries to be the president of the United States, overstep the bounds. See what I'm saying? We all have boundaries that God has set. When we try to police or do other things in other nations, we have overstepped our bounds. So we see in 1 Samuel 8, 5 through 7, and he said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge over us. But the king displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they have say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. God allowed us to have both a prince and a prophet. That's my observation. He ultimately wants to rule and reign over us over as the King of Kings, king being ruler. That's going to happen someday, but it's just not quite yet. Moreover, you shall select from among yourselves, right? We come back to that again. People who fear God won't take a bribe. We may think we select, but it is God's spiritual condition. It is our spiritual condition of God in our hearts that selects. If our heart is evil, we select evil rulers. If our heart is set on God, we select godly leaders. Hosea says it this way in 13:9. O Israel, you are destroyed, but your help is from me. I will be your king. Where is any other? Then he may save you in all your cities and your judges to whom he has said, give me a king and a prince. I gave you a king in my anger and took away in my wrath. God wants to be our king. When he is king over our hearts, he will be king over our land. That's why rulers matter. Rulers of areas and the governance system, but rulers of individual. How you rule over your body and your life and your soul is so important. How you rule over your family, mom, dad, as you lead your family, how you rule over those kids matters. Pastors, how you rule over your church matters. Government officials, how you rule over the public square matters. Employers to your employees, how you rule over those people matters. Teachers, how you rule over your students matter. It matters to God. So this brings us to where we're trying to go. So in Ezekiel chapter 19, we have a lament because the rulers of Israel, specifically Judah, did not do well. Jehoahaz ruled for 3 months, and he deposed and taken to Egypt a Pharaoh. And so we see that they burned the scrolls. They did all these things. And then we see that Jehoiachin also did the same very thing. And there's this lament because they God had appointed to Babylon, the king of Babylon, this leadership over the southern kingdom of Israel. And they had made a commitment to that. But then they went down to Egypt. They broke the commitment. They broke their word, and God didn't like it. So when you think about these rulers, they do the things that aren't pleasing to God. They did evil in the sight of God. And God said, fine, you want to do it your own way? I try to do it your own way and see how that works out. And so they were taken into exile into Babylon. Okay, so I'm going to scroll down here a little bit, but I want you to hear this, in this lament. Moreover, take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel and say, what is your mother, a lioness? She lay down among the lions, and among the young lions she nourished her cubs. She brought up one of her cubs, and he became a young lion. He learned to catch prey, and he devoured men. The nations have heard of him. He was trapped in their pit, and they brought him with chains to the land of Egypt. So this is the first king I mentioned. And so he was brought down to Egypt because he ends up dying there. God uses other nations to punish evil. Notice that. When she saw that she waited, that her hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion. And he roved among the lions and became a young lion. This is Jehoiachin, I think it is. And he devoured men. He knew their desolate places and laid waste their cities. The land with its fullness was desolate by the noise of his roaring. Then the nation set against him from the province of every side and spread their net over him, and he was trapped in their pit. They took him in a cage with chains and brought him to Babylon. So this is that next king that was brought. They were just short little reigns, Jehoiachin's little reign. God uses other nations to punish evil. Your mother was like a vine in your bloodline, planted by waters, fruitful and full of branches because of many waters. She had strong branches of scepters of rulers. She towered in the stature above the thick branches and was seen in her height amid the dense foliage. But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried her fruit. Her strong branches were broken and withered. The fire consumed them. And now she was planted in the wilderness in a dry and weary land. Fire has come out from a rod of her branches and devoured her fruit so that she was no strong branch. So the wicked leaders have consequences. Rulers matter. We need to rule over our life, rule over our family, rule over our churches, rule over our government, and rule over our employees in such a way that honors God. So what's the solution? We see in this lament of Ezekiel 19 that there was so much that happened because the southern kingdom had dishonored God and they had gone into Babylon. I mean, they were exiled to Babylon. We need to do something. First, Timothy says this, therefore I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. We need to be people who intercede. And we need to intercede that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life in the godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we need to be praying for those in authority. Whether it's individually, we need each of our 8 million people in Washington State, whether it's our families, whether it's our churches, our government, or our employers, that they would have the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. We need to pray for all those in authority. A preacher, an apostle, I'm speaking the truth to you. So action that we can take, number one, give supplication, give prayers for all those in authority. Intercede, action number three, give thanks for those in authority. That's what we need to begin to do. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Confess, repent, and intercede on behalf of our local school boards, our local city officials, all those in different counties in Eastern Washington, Western Washington, that we begin to repent and intercede for our state of Washington and our nation, the United States. How do we confess and repent? We're going to read a prayer, or I'm going to read a prayer, based upon Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to pray this over. O Lord, great and awesome God, you keep your covenant and show mercy to those who love you and keep your commandment. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled by departing from your precepts, your judgments, and your word. We have not heeded your word or spoken truth in love to our governor, our city officials, our county officials, our school boards, our fathers, or to our people of the land. Our pastors have remained silent and afraid. Our elders and deacons have become fearful. Christ followers have chosen being liked by the world over being lovers of God. We have held on to paychecks rather than to stand for truth and righteousness. We have virtue signaled, lied, and shifted the blame onto others. We have cheapened your grace, your favor, and your mercy by redefining sexuality, moral and righteous behavior, greed, covetousness, and gluttony. When it comes to sin, we do not resist the devil, but dance with him. Yet we call ourselves Christians. We make excuses for our sin. We have lied to ourselves. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us belongs shame. To the men of Washington, to the inhabitants of every single county, and to all the United States, we confess that we have been unfaithful. We have pursued church growth, money, prestige, and our own strength while remaining silent about cultural evils. O Lord, shame belongs to us, to our governor, our county officials, our school board members, our fathers, our mothers, our churches. Yet to you, Lord our God, belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against you. We have not obeyed your voice, Lord our God, to walk in your laws, which you have set before us by your holy word. Yes, all of Washington transgressed your word and departed from it, refusing to obey your voice. Therefore, the curses and warnings written in the law of Moses, proclaimed by the prophets and confirmed in the New Testament, bear witness against us because we have sinned against you. You have confirmed your words, which you spoke against us and against our judges who judge us, by bringing us into this place of apathy, wickedness, and lack of truth. We have proudly pretended to know more than you. We have embraced abortion, oppressive taxation, and policies that harm our children. We have worshipped government, fame, and people of influence. We have denied you as our creator and redefined marriage, the church, and what it means to take up our cross daily and follow after you. We have replaced Israel with the church. We have not prayed for the peace of Jerusalem. We have not fulfilled the two greatest commandments to love you and to love our neighbor. We have been selfish and self-loving. Yet we have not truly sought you in prayer that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. You, Lord, our God, are righteous in all your works which you do, though we have not obeyed your voice. And now, O Lord, our God, we confess that we have sinned and done wickedly. O Lord, according to your righteousness, we plead. Let your anger and your fury be turned away from Washington State, from each county, and our homes because of our sins and the iniquity of our fathers, our elected officials, our pastors. We plead in faith to let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and the supplications of your people. For your name's sake, cause your face to shine upon us, your church, and your people in this dry and weary land. O Lord God, incline your ear and hear upon, open your eyes and see our desolation. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach. But you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.